My name is Kimmer Foos, and I have been a professional day trader for 13 years. Welcome to the Life of a Day Trader podcast with the Foos 4 Trading Team, Michael Spinoza, and Robert Millar. You are going to learn the ins and outs of day trading and hear real stories from professional traders. This is the Life of a Day Trader. What's up, guys? Kimmer Foos here with the team, Big Mike and Robert Millar. We're going to break down today the good, the bad, and the ugly, the pros and cons of being a day trader. It's not all fucking glorious, glamorous things going on. There is some guts before the glory. That's for sure in this game. So we're going to kind of talk about just our own personal experiences of the good and the bad in this game. Kind of talk a little bit more about what it's like to be a beginning trader and kind of dealing with some of the things you go through for both beginner, intermediate, and advanced. What are the coping mechanisms to get by these things that are kind of holding you back that could be, you know, making your life a little bit more difficult? Because trading is, it's a roller coaster. You know, it's not for everybody. And I think that's something you need to understand when you're getting into this game. Some of the things that can, you know, affect your daily life, your relationships, your fucking future. It's, you know, there's going to be some ups and downs. So we're going to start with the bad news. All right. You know, people are like, you want the good news or the bad news? I don't know. What do you guys usually ask for if somebody says that to you?
Bad.
All right. Yeah. All right.
What are we doing?
You know, because at least if you start with the bad news, you get to end it with good news. You know, if you get the good news, you're like, oh, that's sick. And then you're like, the end of the conversation, you're pissed.
But wait, what's the bad?
You got left with the bad news.
Forget about the good news.
So we're going to start talking about some of the bad things, the cons of day trading. So let's look at what we have listed here. I'm actually just going to go just things that pop into my head right now that I'm going to start talking about. These are some of the things that after 14 years of day trading, some of the things that after 14 years of doing this, things that I don't like about day trading, and some of the things that I try to cope with, and some of the things that I think would be definitely beneficial for people who are getting started to do differently than I did. Because there are some of the things that I have a love or hate relationship with trading because of some of the things that I could have done differently when I first getting started. So one of the biggest things that I hated most about day trading, and I've kind of redesigned my life and I do other things as well to counter this, is the amount of time I was spending at home alone. And I don't like being home alone all the time. It's one thing, you know, fuck, you work at home and then you're done with work and then you're still at home. And it's like, okay, like, you know, I liked going and doing something. When I was younger, what I really loved was when I was bartending as well. And I was able to trade and then I could go out and be a bartender as well. And I was meeting so many people. I was having so much fun. That was probably the best year of my life because I was part of a social scene. And sometimes I would find myself just kind of like locking myself away. Like I wouldn't leave the house because I would just be day trading. So I found myself lonely a lot of the times, and it was depressing, especially if you have a losing day in the stock market. So for me, this is something that I hate about day trading, and something that, you know, which is also why I wanted to start a trading community, because even if you have to be at home alone, you can at least have an online community of people that you're communicating with on a daily basis. But even with that, something I wish I really would have done, especially when I was on the West Coast, is I didn't have any friends that traded stocks on the West Coast. I never met up with anybody and talked about trading. I never traded with anybody like in a group as far as in person. Like some of the happiest times of my life when I think back into my 20s was like, Robert, when me, you, and Kunal, we would go on a fucking bro trip and we'd all go trade together. That was like the fucking greatest times in my life because I was with friends trading. So that's one of the things that I don't like about day trading, is that I spent a lot of my 20s sitting at home alone, just being at home alone. Like money didn't matter. It was like, okay. So for me, that was one of the biggest factors and one of the things I hated about day trading, but it doesn't have to be that way. I just designed my life that way, unfortunately. And that's something I think you guys should consider, after I'm 34 and when I look back in my 20s, that's something I wish I would have taken more advantage of, is try to get out of the house and network with more influential people, whether it be day traders or entrepreneurs or some other people that can lift me up outside of the trading realm or inside of the trading realm. Like I said, the best times of my life in my 20s was when the day trading team was together and we went on a vacation. Obviously, that can't be on vacation all the time, but that was just something that I think it's important to find other trading buddies within your city limits. So that's just something that for me, obviously, it's a very kind of unique industry. It might not be easy to find people that are doing it as well. So I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Because all of us work at home. What are some of the things? I know, both you guys are in relationships. When I was in a relationship, it made my life a whole lot easier because I just had my kind of fucking rock that I'd be like, all right, this is great. Like, I still have my babe to come home to, or when she gets home from work, like, I love it. Or my roommate that I was really good friends with. So it was, nice to have that. So I think being in a relationship also is a huge help.
One thing about you, I remember visiting you in San Diego, with that time zone, you would be finished trading and then all your friends would be going to work when you're done trading. So you're done.
Yeah.
9:30. And you would get out and try to go, we would go get coffee or whatever. And then you look at the clock and it's like 10:30, 11. You still have so long. Like, you can still go out and try to, like, but everyone's at work. So, like, who are you going to go out and see, even if you're done trading? Because they're all at work. I mean, unless you know other traders, like you said, which is what our community is about.
Yeah. So that's, to combat that, I think it's just, you got to find people in your city that want to day trade and either just become buddies, have meetups, like do something or whatever, because it makes your trading career a lot more fun when you're in the vicinity of humans that can trade with. So that was something that I didn't like in my 20s. And now I do other things to network as well, such as doing this podcast, such as doing my show, The Profile, so I can meet influential people, just different ways for me to network with people who lift me up. I don't know, Mike, how do you feel about working at home? Obviously, you've been with Marissa for a while. You guys got a pretty solid relationship. That's definitely, I think, a big factor.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, though, with what you said, Foos, because I worked in the corporate world for like 5 years, maybe, before I started day trading. So I had that side of like being with people. And then to go from that to just home alone, obviously with Marissa being there, it definitely helps, but it's a huge change up. The value add is that you can just focus on yourself and your goals, but at the same time, that lack of interaction with other people, I think, needs to be there. And that's why I think I got Capone too.
gotta have your wingman. Where's Capone at? Yes.
So he hangs out. He's like, I pull his bed next to my computer when I trade. And then when I'm in a position, I'm super nervous. So I just start paying him aggressively.
Yeah. But I think that's also just, it's one thing because there is kind of desocialization going on with how many people are becoming freelancers as well. Yeah. Everybody wants to be an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurship is a lonely career. It's just been like that forever, because you're always on your own. You're always kind of building your own empire. You're not working necessarily on like for a corporate with hundreds of people, all fucking like little minions like together. Like, yeah, we're going to go to the fucking office today and we're going to work for the big boss. And it's like,
yeah, basically. And no matter what, you're making money too.
Yeah. So the thing for me is like, I don't think I would trade it for a 9-to-5 and a suit and tie and having somebody to answer to at all. Like, I don't do well with anybody fucking telling me what to do. Like, I just, This is not for me. That's just the only thing I wish I would have done more in my 20s in my trading career was try to build something more locally as opposed to globally, which is obviously kind of what we're doing now, which is definitely difficult as far as, you know, sometimes managing our time. But, you know, if you're in your 20s and you're getting started traded, I definitely started trading. I would definitely suggest getting like trading buddies, finding people in your area, find trading meetups, and just have a little community of people that you can do it with in your area. But moving along to the next topic would be, Robert, where are we at? Cutting out.
Wherever you would like to go, baby.
Hold on. It's getting fucking hot in here.
Uh-oh. Jacket's coming off.
Leather jacket's soaking in all the, keeping in all the juices. But obviously, here's a big one, guys, is emotional stress of day trading. Okay. Day trading is never the same every day. And there's both pros and cons to that. One, the upside of that is you have unlimited potential to make money day trading. There's no, you know, what did I say today? Like, we're going to be sky cruising here. Of course.
Yeah.
It didn't cruise as high as I wanted it to. But, you know, there's going to be days when you win and there's going to be days when you lose. And the biggest thing about day trading is you got to understand and accept the fact that losing is extremely normal in this game. It's how you perceive that loss is what can affect you going forward in the future. You know, I think I've made this reference before is, you know, you can have a 50% winning ratio or less in trading and still make a shitload of money because you can make two trades for $1,000 each. Two trades for $200 loss each, and that's still a $1,600 profit. But somebody would be like, fuck, man, I lost on half my trades. Doesn't matter. You still, as long as you know how to manage the risk, which is also managing, basically that's just managing your emotions to be able to get out of these positions when you need to, you can make a lot of money. So I guess...
question for you. Sorry to interrupt, but this goes back to the first one with emotional stress. Now, let me know, you guys, if you're trading alone versus trading with friends, do your emotions come out more? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's a good question. Alone,
I might bang my desk. I might do something stupid, which you don't want to do. You want to control it. But, you know, you never really do that when you're with a group or with friends. You kind of keep yourself in check a little bit. So that was kind of helpful for me while traveling with you. I would always, generally all of us would do better when we were all together, just relaxing and just, you know, having a nice view, a nice crib. So your environment definitely keeps your emotional stress down too. And if you're at home, you know, sweating in your underpants in the same place, you know, your emotions can kind of maybe get the best of you.
I talk about this a lot. I actually want to do a whole podcast just on this. It's about the power of a positive work environment and how much that can be a game changer for your success. So for me, when I was training in a group of friends that are all day traders, that's great. If I had like two students on each side of me, like looking over my shoulder, like, what are you gonna do? I'd be like, dude, you guys are
it's different.
Fucking
definitely
killing me here. Like, get the fuck off my shit. Like, I wanted to, I wanted to make a shirt for my clothing line. This shirt was for Mike. On the back, it says, fuck off, I'm trading.
Yeah, sure.
Man,
serious dude.
Should I copyright that quickly?
But yeah, sometimes you don't want distractions. It's different than being like when we were trading on our vacations, it would be like us at a big table and we'd all kind of be doing our thing. Sometimes with Kunal around, that would be difficult because Kunal would be like fucking screaming at his bike, like trying to run Foos 4 live at the same time. It's like, Jesus, all right, this is distracting.
On the other side of the room, and through Foos 4 live, people would hear his calls and try trading and scalping them. That's how loud he was.
Too funny. Yeah.
And then there's also the factor of when we're running Foos for Lives. Sometimes that can be stressful. Sometimes even Mike, you know what it's like to be under the pressure of potentially there's the issue of what we're trying to do for a lot of you guys when we do our live broadcasts is put on an illustration. But at the same time, sometimes that can result in us wanting to try to put on a show because you guys are there like, okay, we're on Foos for Love. I want to see Foos and Mike perform. Sometimes that can change our decision-making process or change our mentality and sometimes make us even trade worse because we're under the pressure of that. So Mike, what are your thoughts on basically just either trading in a group, trading alone? Do you think you would be better trading in a group without the pressure of somebody looking over your shoulder, but you're like in a group setting? Or, and how do you feel about even doing Foos for Live, like our live broadcast? Like, how does that affect you? Even though we're trying to put on an illustration for somebody, like sometimes you might be tempted to be like, oh, I want to put on a show for these people. Like,
yeah, there's definitely that vibe there. But like when I first started, so I think it's everything in life's about educating yourself, right? So when I first started doing it, it was definitely cool. But the effect of having, I guess, students watch you, so you want to impress them versus when, you know, we were in Miami last time we traded, and I'm pretty sure everyone did great because it's different when everyone's, I guess, experienced and knows what to expect out of everyone, you know? It's not like we're following each other.
Yeah.
But like I found out like about a year ago, and this goes to social media too, with people on Twitter and stuff, that there's a subconscious bias where if you know people are watching, you will act differently. So if you think like everyone or on Foos for Live, when people are watching, that will directly impact your trade decisions, like 100%. So I'll just trade and try and be more just like relaxed as if nobody's even there. That's why me and Foos, I think, are pretty goofy in the morning because we don't really care. Like we don't care if people judge us or whatever. And that's all gone. So I can just trade freely and we can be raw. But I guess if people come in and expect a show, which is what we want to put on, obviously, but not teaching the wrong way, it leads to horrible trades.
Yeah.
So. Mike, you were just at courtside Knicks game. I would say for a sports analogy, you know, it's like shooting free throws, right? You just ignore the crowd, focus on what you got to do, make the basket, no matter how, you know, intense the moment might be. It might be a crazy play you've been watching for a long time, and yeah, you're freaking broadcasting and there's 200 people watching you, so you gotta tune them out.
Yeah, just like anything else, the KISS analogy, keep it simple, right?
So yeah,
just focus on, you know, what you've learned. You know, like I said, it's easier said than done. There's a cognitive bias that exists there. That's why anything you hear, guys, like you come and chat, you listen to us, but try not to follow so many people on social media because sometimes it's just too much, you know, too much noise.
Yeah. Like, and also just the factor of putting on the show, because obviously I also run a business. I've been running Foos for Trading. I'm not only a day trader, I'm also a digital marketer. I know how to market things. I know what sells. I know what's good for our business to promote. So I can't tell you how many times I've fucked up so many trades because I'm like, if I could just get this really big trade, it's going to make a great YouTube video for me to post.
Yeah.
Rather than just like getting what I should do and make a good trade out of this, I go for the home run because I'm like, this is going to make a great YouTube video. Or I want people on Foos for Live to see this big trade turn out. Okay. Like it was basically like PE or AVGR today. I was like, if nobody was watching that stock, me on Foos for Live, and I didn't call it out, I was up a quick $700 in like literally 45 seconds. I probably would have been like, all right, maybe just lock this in. But instead I was like, man, this will be good for Foos for Live.
Yeah.
This will be
another 20 cents
for the podcast. Like, I'm just going to let this thing ride and try to get some fucking a good piece of content for digital marketing for the business. So that's another factor that a lot of, for me in my career, because I'm not just a day trader, I'm also trying to promote what we do, has totally fucked up so many trades in my life. Like, I can't even begin to explain it. It's just part of the thing. Like, yeah. So it's sometimes hard to find that balance when I'm on both sides of the spectrum. And I know what is good for digital marketing. I know what's good for my trading career. I know what works. But yeah, it can be, I'm just talking from my own personal experience, like what are some of the upsides and downsides, and also just dealing with external pressures. So speaking of dealing with external pressures, I talk about this in Cloud Nine a lot, is your top priority as a day trader is to limit as much external stress. Actually, that's emotional stress, which is also basically external stress. What are the things that are stressing you out in your life, and how can you cope with those?
I like that.
So that when you wake up in the morning, you can go to the trading desk with one focus and one focus only. What are the best plays today, and how am I going to execute those trades, rather than like, fucking A, like my girlfriend's mad at me, and like, God damn it, I got this credit card bill.
Yeah, it's the worst. Like,
the more and more things you have stacked up that it's going to be on the forefront of your brain, the more and more shit that's going to get in the way of you being able to focus. So your main priority on a day-to-day basis is getting rid of anything that's stressing you out. Obviously, we all have stresses, and it's not going to be 100% clear, but things you can do to relieve all those stresses. So, and I think one of these things that you were talking about the other day, Mike, is just your outlet. Like, we all need an outlet, something that you can go do. For me, it's, even though I haven't even done yoga in like fucking 2 months, since I got pushed in fucking Budapest, I went and did yoga for the first time in a while. And then I got pushed off my skateboard by some fucking Hungarian.
Zen.
So that was the last time I did yoga. I've just been on this different workout program where I've been doing various boot camp with this 3-day-a-week workout program, 2 days a week of various boot camp. And then I go do a cardio session on Sunday. So I obviously haven't even had time. I've just been trying something different. But working out is definitely obviously one of the biggest outlets for stress. And something you can do to just relieve whatever is on the forefront of your mind, so you can come to the training station in the morning clear. Mike, what are some of the outlets that have worked for you, or for people that are just getting started in trading? Like, fuck, this is a stressful anyways. Without my external stress, like, trading is stressful.
I mean, I've said this to Rob before we started. Like, I went to the Knicks game last night on a Monday. Usually never drink during the week just to stay sharp, you know, right? So every morning I make sure, this is without drinking, to do morning cardio, because there's the science that gets your brain sharp. You get your endorphins flowing. You know, you're feeling good. You're feeling positive. So every morning I have to start my day with that. And I'm very clear-minded and therefore confident to take trades where I need to take them, you know? And if I don't get that in, then I'm usually not mentally there. So even this morning, I woke up hungover as fuck, and I'm like, I have to do at least like 30 minutes just to like get coherent, you know? And I forced myself to do it. And I was like so hungover, but like obviously felt better after. And, you know, still made money today. So like, that's the discipline I think that most people aren't willing to do, to stay sharp. And they don't realize that they need to be sharp, because everyone thinks you can just wake up and like get behind the computer screen and make money every day. And I don't think that most people can do that.
No, you got to be fucking laser focused.
Like fucking laser sharp by like 9:30, which is when most people are like having their first cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah. That was another thing. Like for me, another like a downfall of West Coast trading is not so much like – when I was getting up at like 5:30, 5:45, usually latest out of bed. Sometimes I would literally get out of bed at like 6:15 and be like, fuck, I got fucking 10 minutes to fucking slam some cold brew, 5 minutes to turn my computer on and fucking get on Foosfor Live ready to go. And so that was a big problem for me as well. And I did this for freaking 10 years. I don't know how I did it. Like,
neither do I, dude.
The problem wasn't getting up at like 5:30. The problem was getting up at 5:30 and trying to be 100% by 6:30. Not even that, be 100% by like 6, just to start doing my research.
Right.
Going on. And I know you're getting up super early, Mike. You're getting up at like freaking 4:05 in the morning.
Yeah, usually lately it's like my alarm's at 4:20. Just for jokes purposes. But then that like 40 minutes is me just like walking around my apartment, like, you know, like getting, you know, feeling like a human, you know, and then I have like a coffee and then I'll go work out, and then I'll work out for like an hour. And then usually I'm behind the screen by 6:30, and I need like 2 hours of prep, you know, let alone like if someone's trying to do like 10 minutes, Foos, like I could be like almost guarantee I'm losing money that day.
Yeah. Dude, and it's just like hectic stress. And it's so bad. Like it's another thing, like how important sleep was. Like for me, like I was on the West Coast trading for almost 10 years. I literally was like Googling all these things. Like, do I have like fucking chronic fatigue syndrome? Like what the fuck is wrong with me? And until I finally realized it's just, all it was sleep. Going to bed too late and fucking waking up when my body was not ready to. So I was, you know, there's one thing, waking up to an alarm, which is fine, gets you out of bed. But another thing is waking up to an alarm when your body physically isn't ready to wake up because you're not getting sleep. And that's what I was doing for 10 years. And I would just be on this vicious cycle of fucking napping, trying to go to bed at the right time, waking up early, being exhausted, trying to drink coffee just to stay awake. And it was just like, a fuck show. And then I was in Mexico City. I mean, I'd obviously traveled and worked in on different time zones. And I was in Mexico City trading on East Coast time. I was like, dude, life is so much better when I can just like wake up. Like you wake up at like 6:30, have like an hour or two to like just fucking wake up, sit down, relax, and have a coffee. Like, because I was having so much stress on the West Coast. I was waking up 5:45, 6 o'clock, having to slam my coffee and like scramble to get ready, like within 15 minutes to be at 100%. So
that's tough, Foos.
That was definitely a big downfall for me. And I'm not a morning person. I'm just not, like I never have been. So like I operate better when I have at least, like I can't wake up and go immediately to the gym. Like I'm a fucking zombie. I just can't make it there. Like my body's not ready. I can't wake up.
It definitely takes getting used to, I feel like. You don't just change overnight. I definitely started baby steps. And then I feel like you have to change your body literally from like a science standpoint and routine wise. Otherwise, you know, you're going to be in that chronic fatigue, which I think is like a true study. If you drink too much coffee, it will lead to chronic fatigue because your body just gets used to all the caffeine and shit.
Yeah, I think you need to change your habits if you want to change your routine, your life.
Yeah, and agreed, dude.
For me, the easy route was just to get the fuck off the West Coast. Get out of here. What is next? What do we got here? Physical, mental, healthy routine. You slip, you lose. 1 week, a night might be fun.
Even boozing, I think you definitely can't booze as much. You know, like versus people that in the corporate world can operate in zombie mode and still make money, where like we need to, you know, be with it and there. That's like definitely a different...
Dude, my corporate world friends do more drugs and alcohol than anyone I know.
And they're still going to get paid because what do they give a shit, right?
Yeah. They almost like need it. I don't know. Like
they still get that paycheck.
Yeah. I mean, they're stressed in all walks of life, but you know, with trading, you don't want to have the ups and downs. You got to be even in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, especially once you get older in your 30s, your hangovers are so bad. Like I can't drink anymore. Like it sucks. Yeah. Like I still want to have fun. Like shit. I went on two Tinder dates last week, two in a row, Wednesday and Thursday. I went out and drank both nights and I was just like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like you're crumbling. Right? Thing,
I don't know, you know, but our listeners, like
yoga girl that doesn't like to drink and can travel full time. Basically.
I know you, Foo. So then when you go out with a girl that doesn't drink, you're like, why isn't she drinking?
No, I mean, I dated a girl. My ex-girlfriend didn't really drink at all. When we were dating, and I loved it. I was like, oh, this is fucking...
Once you've already, you know, done the deed, then it's okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. A lot of these, I mean, if you go out on Tinder dates, you go get
at the beginning, you want to loosen up a little bit, you know.
Definitely. Yeah.
You're trying to hit the goal.
Yeah.
But I guess the whole point of the last 5 minutes or so is really just, you know, you have to keep a tight routine. that can be a good thing and a bad thing, I think, for a lot of people. But you just have to be make a conscious effort about it. And, you know, like Mike, you went to a game last night, you knew you were going to drink, you know, so I feel like you recognize that you took it easy today, did what you had to do to get back. The problem is when you do that and you think you can come to the table the next day or trading station the next day and you're invincible. So yeah. You just got to be conscious about it. You know, you're going to do that during a weekday, then you probably might not shouldn't trade the next day possibly.
Yeah. You're either going to, this goes back to being self-aware, just like you said, dude, traded today, but dramatically less size because I was still like, you know.
Yeah.
So that's where I knew to take the risk off because of how I'm feeling. And if you don't know how you're feeling, then you're just going to trade like you usually do, right?
Right. So I feel like that type of stuff is a little bit easier than emotional stuff because us as, you know, as human beings, if you have something, you know, kind of wrong in your life, you know, girlfriend, job or whatever, I think and men especially try to suppress them and not recognize them, but they're still there, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So emotional type stuff, you want to, you know, be careful with. I know, you know, I had a girlfriend a while ago break up with me and I traded the next day and I lost like $2,000 the next day. And it was 100% related emotionally to that breakup and I wasn't thinking clearly. So, you know,
yeah, that's another thing that you got to understand and definitely be in check about was basically what Robert just said. If you have some sort, you can have a total snowball effect. So if you got like some crazy shit going on in your personal life and then you try to go trade and then you totally screw up, like that's going to be like an exponential effect on you going and telling whoever you're pissed off to fuck off even harder. Like, yeah. It's going to accelerate your issue, whatever you have that's going on in your personal life, because you're probably not going to do well in trading. You're going to do poorly, and it's just going to be a snowball negative effect on whatever else is happening. So some days you just got to take the day off. If you have something fucking crazy that's just going on in your personal life, it's really not working out, you just broke up with your girlfriend, whatever, even just a fight or something, it's like, you know, until you can come to fucking the trading desk and be like, nah, I'm a fucking stay. I'm ready to trade today. Don't trade. Take the day off.
Yeah.
This goes back to the whole opportunity over time. We don't get paid for time that we work as traders. So we can't be like, okay, I'm going to technically work from the market open till 3 just because I feel like it. No, we get paid for, is there a nice opportunity today?
Yeah, you execute a proper,
unlike any job out there, you know. So you can take the day off and not give a shit, and that's the beauty.
It's like you say a lot in the Foos Forward in our Discord chat room. Just like, hey guys, not going to do the broadcast this morning because there's nothing there, because there's no opportunity, and that's what you get paid for in trading is opportunities. There's no opportunity, you can sit there for 8 hours a day and do nothing, or you can sit there for 8 hours a day and try to trade something, but there's nothing there and lose $2,000.
Yeah, get back a lot.
New traders, please listen to what we're saying. New traders, it's not every day. Like that one book Mike and I read with Turtle Traders, how I know that's a totally different strategy, but they would literally, nothing going on. They would
play ping pong.
Play ping pong all day. Some of them would
love ping pong.
All right, that'd be sweet. You're in an office with a bunch of dudes, and you're like, "Do you see anything? No. Do you see anything? No. I'll play you into ping pong." Like that's what they did. 70% of the time.
Awesome.
So when you see Mike or Fuser or whatever, like say, "Hey, you know, I'm not seeing anything. You know, take it easy today. Don't get pissed off. He's actually trying to help you."
Yeah, it's true.
There's actually this bar right down the street called Bounce, I think. And it's just a huge fucking room full of ping pong tables and everybody gets wasted. It's amazing.
Yes.
there you go.
It's like that in New York. In downtown, Mike. I'm sure you've been there.
Yeah. It's like one of those German places everyone smashed, but a very good time. Great time.
The Germans. I don't know. I think we just fucking talked mad shit about trading. Maybe we should start talking about some of the good things.
I think we've basically crushed everyone's expectations to lows at this point. Now this is what we long.
Yeah. So anyways, guys, obviously, you know, we just want to be upfront, 100% transparent, 100% honest. Some of the things that you go through as a day trader, some of the things I've been going through, Mike's gone through, Robert's gone through, some of their new students, and just some things to expect. And I'm the reason why we're calling out all these bad things about day trading is because we want to help you find the solutions to make those stresses better so that you can be a better day trader and relieve more, get rid of some of this stress or not be shocked by some of the stresses so you're actually better prepared for when you enter into this industry, because there is a lot of stress. It's a manic depressive game. There's no way around it. You just got to find your outlet, woo-saw the fuck up, and get ready to trade on a daily basis and get rid of those stresses. So just something to be known. That is the bad. You got the bad news first. Now it's time for some good news about day trading. What are the pros? So obviously, number one is be your own boss. Okay. I can kind of relate to some people, having a boss. I haven't had a lot of bosses. The only bosses I've ever had was when I was bartending. My boss was pretty cool though. And I was allowed to get drunk on the job. So it's like a, I can't really fully relate.
Didn't you do some internship or something and in the finance world when you were younger?
I did not. Not that I remember, no. I think the closest thing recently to a boss was when I was working with Playboy as a travel host for the show. They basically want to rebrand my vlog. And it was no longer my show. And it was my show, but they were telling me what to do and it didn't work out well in the end. I didn't like having somebody else tell me what to do. So I don't work well with that. It's just not something, I just don't think it runs in my family. I work for myself. My brother works for himself. My dad works for himself. My mom works for himself, for herself.
That's dope.
Yeah, it's just everybody, I guess we, somewhere along the way, my parents instilled that don't let people tell you what to do or if you don't want to do it. So that's just something for me. I don't know, Mike, what was it? Like, how would you compare? Obviously, we talked about some of the downfalls of working alone or at home. There's downfalls to working at home that you're just by yourself. But as far as some of the benefits, especially not having a boss or anything, like, what are some of the positives for you that you're like, man, this is a relief not having to go to work?
Yeah, I think, you know, because getting to experience the corporate side, like I took the Long Island Railroad home last night after the game and I was just like, fuck this. Like the rat race, I said to Marissa, I was like, I'd rather be a meth head than have to take the train every day for an hour back and forth. So I do, I guess it's based off your personality, like if you're more introvert, extrovert, but I like the home concept. Even like, you know, you traveling, Foose, is kind of like still the home, you know, concept in terms of like, you create your own environment, right? So like I get up, I go to the gym, I feel good. I put music on in the morning, making my coffee. Like I'm setting my environment, right? Which is pretty cool, I feel like. And then it's just a lot of, you know, with day trading, at least you have communities like what we have, but it's limitless freedom is how I look at it. So it's limitless self-expression. So I can do whatever I want that day, whether I feel like being more relaxed that day, having a good workout, like however I want to spend that day. It makes me feel like I'm living my life more as opposed to going to a job where like I'm not making the decisions for myself or trying to add value to the community and stuff like that. So I think that's where the value add is, just self-expression, self-creation, you know, limitless freedom. But from a physical standpoint, like, you know, you definitely get cabin fever. Otherwise, if I'm here for fucking 2 weeks, you know, I don't go anywhere, definitely.
Yeah. And, but that's what the beauty is. You literally write your own schedule every day. It's not like you go into a fucking a 9-to-5. You're like, all right, I got this to do. I got this sheet to fill out and all this stuff. It's like, I feel like doing this right now. That's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about it is having that freedom to make those decisions, whatever you want. You have nobody that's like, no, you can't do that. You have to do this. It's like, no, I'm going to do what I want to do right now because that's just it's my life, not yours. So
it's true, right? Like,
yeah, but there's nothing worse than not being able to live your life the way you want it. And so that's what's so great about day trading. The number one thing for me in day trading, the biggest plus, is freedom. Freedom to do whatever the fuck I want, whenever I want. And that's basically what I've been doing for many, many years. I can't picture myself doing it any other way. And I feel bad for people who don't have that ability to be spontaneous. I love being spontaneous. I love, like, my other buddy, Gerard, who runs a show similar to mine. He's like, dude, I'm in London. You want to go to Iceland this weekend? I was like, fuck yeah, let's go to Iceland. Why not? So it's just like being able to say yes. I think yes people have way more fun in their life. And if you're in a 9-to-5, you got to say no a lot. Like my roommate, Nick, loved the guy, but he was also in a 9-to-5. We became roommates, first of all, because I wrote a Craigslist post saying I'm looking for a yes person.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so he was like, yo, this guy's cool. And I was like, you're cool, bro. You should move in. And so we became like best friends. But once he started, he actually works for Morgan Stanley now. So he works, he can kind of make his own schedule. But once you kind of go into that corporate world, you're kind of more locked down into, you got shit to do. You got places to be. And so you can't necessarily like, oh yeah, let's go fucking on a trip this weekend. Let's go somewhere for a week. Let's go somewhere for a month.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, because you lose your freedom when you're working in the corporate world and you're basically in that kind of 9-to-5 type of job. So freedom is definitely the number one benefit of day trading. Again, the thing that I love to talk about a lot is the power of a positive work environment. You get to choose what your work environment is. And I get to choose, okay, I'm going to work at home today. Tomorrow, I feel like going to go to the cafe. There's a place here in London where I'm at now called the Hoxton. It's this fucking super cool, super vibey hotel, but the lobby is like a co-working space and it's a bunch of fucking couches, desks, and you go in there and there's a bunch of people all with their laptops. I don't know what any of these people do for work. They're either freelancers or something, but it's like a co-working space and everybody's got like their beer or their coffee. And like after like 5 p.m., everybody just, it turns into like a big hangout, like social scene. Like I took this girl on a date there, like to my fucking place of work, but it was like after, like it was at like 11 p.m. So at night it turns into this place where it's like a lounge, like bar kind of thing. So I love being able to choose where I feel like working every day, as opposed to going into some little cubicle where you're like, this isn't cool. So I like to have the freedom to be spontaneous and to choose my work environment. If I don't like the work environment, I change it or I move. If I don't like the city I'm in, I leave. I go somewhere else. So I like to be able to have that freedom and spontaneity. Spontaneity. How do you say that?
I was going to say, I don't know. I'm not going to say it. Spontaneity.
Spontaneity. Spontaneity. Spontaneity.
Spontaneousness.
Rob, what's your
tomato tomatoes thing? one thing I definitely agree with, the commuting is awful. I used to spend, I mean, and you add that shit up like week to week, month to month, it is
years,
so
dude.
Long. Like I used to commute anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour each way. That's 2 hours a day. Sometimes it could be longer. You add that up, you know, over time, that's 10 hours a week. It's 40 hours a month.
Yeah, two days a month.
And I got so fat so quickly, like just the mental exhaustion. Even though you're just sitting there in a car or on the train, it's just mentally exhausting. And after the day, having to do that, and then you get home, you're going to eat, you know,
you're going to eat pizza or burgers, dude.
You're not going to cook it. You're going to order some pizza and then you're not going to go to the gym, all that stuff. You just do that every day. It's just like, it's awful. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Again, and that's just going back to time. Time is your most fucking important and valuable asset. And if you're wasting 2 hours of your day commuting, like that's some fucked up shit.
Yesterday I forgot my headphones on the train, so I had to take the train there with no headphones. I'm like, this is like prison. This is from prison.
Yeah. You just, I can't imagine. It's like even like the cost to commute is huge too. Like, Nick, my buddy, my roommate, in San Diego, who works for Morgan Stanley, he lives more so downtown now, but when we were living in Pacific Beach and he worked downtown at the Morgan Stanley office, he would drive his car to some like tram station and then take the tram downtown because it was just a pain in the ass to fucking find parking or even to park down there. So we had to double commute basically every day. He had to drive his car to some train station and then take the train to downtown. And then to go home, he would take the train back to the train station and then drive home. So I'm like, dude, how are you even doing this?
And like, you'd be like, dude, I finished work like in 30 minutes today. You know?
like,
that's the positives, right? Right there.
Yeah. Like literally, I would wake up in the morning. It'd be 6:30 a.m. He would be usually getting up around 6:30 or 7. And a lot of times I'd be done by 7. And he'd be like, getting ready to go for work. Like, all right, dude, I'm going to go back to sleep. See ya. And we actually, after a while, again, being that I'm not a morning person, and also when you live with somebody, it's just like, all right, do we need like the formalities? Like, we made a rule where we didn't have to say hello in the morning to each other anymore. Cause neither of us
like that rule.
Actually, I noticed that. Man, you guys never say anything to each other.
Yeah. So it'd be like,
I didn't know it was like a silent. Well,
yeah. Usually every time I would be broadcasting on Foos for Live when he was leaving. So it'd be like, all right, later, dude. I'd be like, all right, dude, later. And then we just like, all right, man, like we're fucking bros. We love each other. Like,
yeah, there's no,
we don't need to fucking say goodbye every morning. We see each other every fucking day and I'll see you when you get home from work. Like we don't say a word to each other in the morning. Cause my training setup was in the living room area. He'd come out, he'd eat his fucking bowl of cereal, and I'd hear the fucking spoon scraping on the fucking bowl.
That's the most annoying sound in the world. I was yelling at my girl, like, can you stop that bowl scrape noise, please?
Give me the bowl.
I hate that noise. That's so funny to say that.
Yeah. He started doing my Nutribullet in the middle of my broadcast. It's like, oh, man. It's like, dude.
It's fucking up his end.
I'm going to fucking lose my shit. I'm gonna throw that thing through the window. But
lost you there.
Yeah, so I don't even know. I just got totally sidetracked with whatever I was saying, but I think I was talking about commuting, and then
you don't have to do that when you're trading.
Sucks.
No, and back to time and freedom. Like our broadcast that we do every morning is usually about an hour. Like today we did an hour.
Yeah.
But it depends. A lot of times my trades are done within the first 5 to 30 minutes. And then sometimes I'll be either in a position after that, but I try to get in and get out as quickly as possible. Obviously I will be there if I need to be, if I'm still waiting for a trade to play out, but that's when the most volatility and most predictability I find is right at the market open. So it literally can take, you know, 5 minutes to 30 minutes to make a couple grand and be like, oh, that was great. I'm done.
I should stop now.
Like, another problem is,
yeah.
Because greed gets in the way. That's what we were talking about earlier today. It's just like fucking greed, dude. Like shit gets in your way. Cause you're up and you're like, I want a little more. It's like people in Bitcoin. They're like, oh, it's going to 50. It's going to 50K.
Yep.
I just bought it at 20. Oh, fuck, it's down at 6. Like, greed is like your biggest enemy in day trading. You really just have to be able to accept that you need to get used to taking profits. That's another really big, hard thing for people to do. For one really hard thing for people to do in trading is accepting that losing is normal and just being like, okay, this trade didn't work out. I need to get out of this position for a small loss before it gets big. The second hardest part is once you have a profit, is accepting it. It's like, okay, I made some money without getting too stuck in the fantasy world of like, what if it does this? What if it?
Or you're like, I knew this was going to happen. I'm going to double down now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, ego.
I fucking hate I told you so, traders. It's like, you didn't know shit. You fuck.
Hindsight heroes.
Hindsight heroes.
Do that in our chat room. You're going to get a tongue lashing.
Yeah. Oh man, no, I hate it. That's what fucking Bitcoiners.
That's basically all of the crypto traders.
Oh, yeah.
But they're quiet now.
Yeah, like
that's why.
Wait 2 years.
The amount of people that lost money in Bitcoin versus the amount of people that gained money, probably there's a lot more, more lost. So that's why you got to be real, guys, and take this shit seriously.
Yeah. And one thing you guys need to understand about trading is that trading is just a reactionary based game. You try to find opportunities that you think are a high probability of happening in your favor, but there's never predicting. All you're doing is looking for high probability setups that have an attractive risk reward. From there, you find those opportunities, you enter the trade with a game plan. And once you're in, you follow that game plan, and it's an if-then statement from there. If it does this, you get out of the position for a small loss. If it does that, you try to lock in a profit because that was part of your game plan. So it's always an if-then statement and always a reaction-based game. There's no predicting the stock market because you can't. There's no such thing. You can't predict the future. You have no fucking clue what's going to happen in the future. It's all this risk management and reacting to what the stock does after you find a high probability setup that you're familiar with that you enter. So don't think of it. It's like why I hate when people are like, oh, what's like the next hot stock pick? Or if I like meet somebody and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I day trade. They're like, go to new stock tips. I'm like,
that's like, this is my analogy when people say that predictive trading is way more stressful than reactive trading.
Yeah.
Because it's if then based. And if you get in the hole, like, I'm smart, I knew this. Like, that's what people really want out of the market. They don't want the money right. They want to be proven right. And so it's a mind fuck.
Yeah, but it also makes trading so much easier if you set it up as if then.
Yep. That's 100%.
Learning that is just knowing a strategy, you know, just reading technical analysis and game planning before you're in your trade. And over time, it takes time to do that quickly. But the more and more you practice, the more charts you see, the more trades you're in, you know, hopefully if you're new, you're practicing with a simulation account and living and trading those, you know, if and when situations and reacting, correctly and quickly. And it just takes time, just like anything else, which I love about trading. One of the best things is, it's wide open for you to succeed. It's exponential growth possibility. And the harder you work, the more it pays off. One of those things. It's not easy. It's not going to be automatic, but you got to be better than the next guy. So for me, you know, you're in the corporate world, you know, you can be better than anyone in your entire office, and there's still structures that are barriers for you to go up. With trading, it's really is wide open. Like I said, it's not that it's easy, but the possibility is there for you, and it's limitless.
Sorry, I'm recording an Instagram story.
Okay. and kind of going back to, time, you know, more time with family and friends. That was really important for me. And really, that was one of the driving factors for me getting started. And I know a lot of you, speaking with a lot of you out there, you just don't want to be working for someone else. You don't want to be in a car all day. You want to be with your kids or your wife or your girlfriend or your friends and to do what you want. So, and really kind of the struggle is as a trader, once you get there is to actually do that. You know, you can kind of get sucked in too much. So, you know, just,
you want to work, dude, work.
Yeah.
It's all about opportunity.
Right. Yeah. So take advantage of it when you have it. Like kind of what Foose was saying, he was not taking advantage of those things in San Diego. So he changed his environment and changed things up. And now he's all over the place. Me, I like kind of like my home base. I think, Mike, you're the same. And do whatever you guys like. You know, the opportunities are there for you.
Yeah, someday I'll get a home base out of nowhere. I really love London. But if I go back to the U.S., I feel like New York would be where I go. I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to go to Southern California. I was just in San Diego. I'm like, no. And then I was in LA for 3 months.
It's really bad.
I was like, no.
And then I do like the East Coast time zone for sure.
For trading, I think it's the best.
For trading, definitely.
Yeah. I don't mind London where I am now. It's 2:30 p.m. market open. So it's like I can wake up, do my shit in the day. Sometimes it's kind of like right in the middle of lunch. Like if somebody's like, hey, do you want to go do lunch somewhere? And I also intermittent fast. So I try not to eat until 1 p.m. I'm like, really have fucking time. So it's like, what I fucking hate the most is when trading gets in the way of my fucking eating schedule. Like if I'm like, all right, I can't go to fucking dinner tonight or on a date because I got to fucking trade or something. Like that's why Bali is so fucking shitty, because the market opens at 9:30 p.m. So it's like,
no way. He says something negative about Bali. Whoa.
Yeah. I fucking hate Bali.
Actually. No. Yeah, I know.
He's the time zone can ruin everything, right?
Yeah. Like no.
What's the open in Bali? 9:30.
Yeah, it's 9:30 p.m. market open. It sucks.
Man, it sucks.
Yeah, and then I would be drinking fucking coffee at night.
That's the worst. You're fucking wired.
Yeah, and all that does is it increases your cortisol levels, and cortisol levels increase your stress levels, and then your stress levels fuck up your trading levels. So you got to keep your cortisol in check. I don't even know what cortisol is.
Another fun fact. I don't either, but I'm going to write that down.
Cortisol. You can actually get your cortisol levels tested.
Yeah, I had it tested.
Getting part of blood work tested, and it's basically just like cortisol. The higher cortisol levels are, the more stressed out your like central nervous system is. So you want cortisol levels to be in check. And
unfortunately, coffee increases it. Not sleeping well. Just stress in general.
Sleep is everything, I feel like.
Dude, sleep is so clutch.
Sleep is everything. If you don't sleep well, it's like, just don't
your
even
day's work. Over.
Don't even trade at all, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. But last two, kind of break down another one of the benefits is obviously one of the biggest byproducts of day trading successfully is money. And you can make a lot of money day trading when you do this successfully. You literally have the ability to make your monthly salary in a day. My biggest single day gain was $15,000. So that was pretty mind blowing to be able to have the opportunity to do that. And I'm just like looking at it like, holy shit, I just made 15 grand today. This is pretty gnarly. Like to make a $15,000 a month salary, you got to have a pretty damn good job.
Yeah. Like, I was gonna say, let's do the math right now.
Like, who gets paid 180K
a year.
Yeah, like that's you got to have a pretty nice job.
Well.
You're getting that once a month, you know.
Yeah, like what do you got to do? What kind of
if you're making 18, you know, 15K a day, that's a little different. We can do that.
Yeah. I would say if you're a new doctor, a average lawyer,
4.5 a year. It's 15K a day.
Entry level a beginning commercial banker.
I'd say like an entry level commercial banker, you're probably making like six figure or something, like nothing.
Definitely.
Nothing I don't know about.
But you have no soul.
Yeah, you're fucking. I remember looking up investment banking when I was in college, and it's like, all right.
That's the job everybody wanted in finance.
Yeah, and then I'm like Googling it. I'm like, fuck. Like it's like you're gonna be working for the first years or however long, you're going to be like working 12-hour days and weekends. And it's like,
yeah, like,
nope. And I'll X that one out.
What is this?
My friend did that, had to work for UBS right out of school for 2 years. That was his life.
A lot of cocaine. I don't like cocaine. I know. I've done it plenty of times and I'm not a fan. But yeah, you can make a lot of money in a very short amount of time. And you have the ability to make what you can make at your salary at your job, it potentially in a single day, not even a full day of day trading, in the first 90 minutes. Cause that's really when the most opportunities are. We also talk about, you actually get paid more to work less in day trading because there's specific windows in trading where the predictability is much higher. It's not necessarily where you sit and trade for 8 hours a day. There's areas in the market trading session which are the most predictable, and that's what we kind of focus on with the FOOS 4 system, is the market open. So you actually get paid more to work less, because if you try to stick with those that time frame, a lot of times it'll be beneficial, because a lot of times for me, at least personally, a lot of people, I know Mike likes to trade throughout this session a lot more than I do. But for me, what I noticed was that a lot of times I would make all my money on my most predictable plays at the open and be like, boom, fucking crushed it. And then my,
right back.
And my greed would set in. And I'd be like, dude, I'm up 5K. Like, let's make this a 10K day. And then I would stick around in the market open and then start fucking around with less predictable setups. And in the middle of this session, especially, there's a lot of fake out moves, a lot of things that aren't actually moving or look like they're moving. We call it like the spin cycle, where it's just a constant feed back and forth in a small channel where it's looking like it might be doing something. It just does nothing but go sideways. So for me, I would always make the most money the less amount of computer time I spent trading. And that's typically how I like to trade. I don't know, Mike, what do you feel about mid-session and later session? And also actually now, speaking of which, pre-market as well, which is something that's kind of changed lately. So what are your thoughts on trading outside of the market open?
It's weird because when I first started, which about 3 years ago, the pre-market session was not that active, and that I guess as it is now, and it goes through phases. So a lot of these like F patterns will happen pre-market, and then you'll have that FOMO, like shit, like why didn't I trade it pre-market, you know?
Yeah.
And that momentum and that chart will also flow into the open. So you know, you need to have rules, which is why we have a system. And to have time-based rules now, I think, is much more important than ever. So I'll trade. You know, I try and avoid pre-market. I have before, but like I'm trying to avoid it going forward. So I'd rather trade the first 2 hours. And then I don't mind trading the rest of the day, guys. I just tell people to size down to like a third or a quarter of what you were doing. And this way, you know, you can still trade if the setup's there, but you're not risking close to as much as you were at the open when it was more high probable, you know?
Yeah, less risk. If you are, have a say, like me, having a $5,000 day and going for $10,000, rather than, you know, screwing up that total $5,000, taking the risk for the $10,000, you might lose $1,000 taking a risk for another.
Exactly.
Couple. So, not like that, because there's still definitely opportunities. Through the session again, like I said before in the beginning, like I just don't like sitting at a home alone, so I try to go do something else other than trading or working.
Yeah, it's true. Else, you can get caught behind the screen just to try and scalp shit and get in that hole. Like before you know it, it's 4 o'clock some days, and I'm like, what the hell just happened to the day? You know,
it's like, shit, I've been
just the whole day just, yeah. You know,
yeah. So, because sometimes it's hard to walk away.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, it's literally like being a casino, but you know, it's your computer.
Anyways, guys, I think kind of this, the main benefactors of trading, the walk away here is the ability to live life on your terms, the ability to do whatever you want, whatever you want. And also the byproduct of trading successfully, you can make a lot of money in a very short amount of time. Obviously, there's a lot of training involved that you need to go through to get to that level. And that's exactly what we provide for you guys at Foos4 Trading is our 90-day program, the Foos4 Pro System, which is basically about 25 hours of online training that you go through first. And then we have 3 times a week mentor classes with Big Mike. In addition, we have our Discord trading chat room, which we got people in here. Actually still trading. Is the market still open? I guess it is.
Yeah.
6:53.
2 hours.
It's almost 7 p.m. here in London. So I always like, oh, it's dark. Market's not open, or it's not even like on my mind anymore because I really can't the first 90 minutes. But yeah, guys, the walk away here is, you know, you can build yourself a great life with this career. But, you know, we also wanted to be 100% transparent with what the cons are of this as well. You know, we don't, this wasn't a sales pitch, obviously. As you heard us talk about some of the things that we didn't like about day trading, some of the stresses. So we just wanted to be as clear as possible and, you know, really translate to you guys what it's like to be a day trader. You know, I think a lot of people would probably avoid telling you guys those things. And our biggest thing that we try to do at our company is be transparent and be 100% honest with you guys, so that one, you guys know what's going on, and two, so that we can sleep at night and feel good about what we're doing, which I think is a really big benefit for everybody in your career, is to be 100% honest with yourself and the people you're doing business with and people you work with, is to be open and honest with what the reality of every situation is, so that you can feel good about who you are as a person and actually, you know, go to sleep at night, sleeping sound with no, you know, fucking devils on your conscience, or however you want to call that. But any closing arguments or statements, Mike and Bob?
Measure the pros, measure the cons, guys, and just make sure it's for you. That's it.
Yeah.
No, no, definitely.
If it's for you, sky's the limit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely hope you guys appreciate this. You know, when I got started, and what probably a lot of people today, you know, they don't show you or tell you these types of things. And then you get started and you're not prepared for it. And then you fail epically. And then where do you go from there? So just the more prepared you are, you know, in the beginning, focus on psychology. That's why we have Cloud9. No one else has a course on psychology that I know of, in our space at all. So it is the most important part, and definitely just be prepared for the good and the bad and the ugly. And yeah.
There you go. That is a wrap, everybody. Also, guys, it would mean the world to us if you could like, subscribe, comment on the YouTube below. If you're listening to this on our podcast, if you could leave us a review, tell us what you think about our show. Also, if you guys have any comments or any topics you really want us to discuss, we're always open to hearing new things, new thoughts. You know, we're doing this for you guys. That is our whole goal and priority, to provide you guys value. So let us know at any time. Always completely be 100% open about what exactly you want us to talk about. With that said, peace in the East and the whole wide world.